name is Kurt Mortensen. This is we're talking about persuasion and influence negotiation. Today is November 4th. Remember, these calls are always recorded. Well, I guess you can't say always. Most of the time recorded. Sometimes there's technical glitches. And if you've been here the last while, you know we've been talking a lot about trust, developing instant trust, what causes people to instantly trust you. And remember, as we talk about persuasion and influence, it's up to 95% of all persuasion influence involves that subconscious trigger. It just feels right. I like this person. I don't like this person. And we have to understand that trust, of course, is an all-time low. People are more skeptical than ever before. And if you look at the five C's of trust, the one that's the most important is credibility. I'm getting a lot of questions about that, so I want to talk a little bit about that, some ways to really enhance what you're doing, because many of you are in real estate or have your own business or network marketing or whatever it is that you do, credibility is critical. If they don't think you can do what you say you can do, there's no business. It just doesn't matter. And it's interesting as you study these concepts and talk to people, again, that's one of the fun things I get to do is interview people after they've lied to you, that credibility is an issue, trust becomes a big issue, and that's what we're going to focus on today, is give you some tools and some homework. And of course, I hope if you're new to the call works this, we're going to spend 10-15 minutes on a core principle, give you some homework to apply this principle the next 7 days, and then we'll open it up for questions. Work on these things throughout the week. That is what we're going to work on. So get your notepads out, and we will take questions. So today, as you're new, many of you are new in your business, you have to ask yourself, okay, do you have a lot of credibility when you talk to somebody? You're going against a large company. And this is important, especially anywhere. If you're running an internet business, if you're looking to publish a book, record CDs, do network marketing, do real estate, this will help every single one of you. And it's understanding testimonials. You have to understand, people will believe somebody else a lot quicker than they'll believe you. Now, it doesn't matter whether it's fair or not. We're going to go into that, but that's reality. Let me repeat that. People will believe somebody else before they believe you, because you have something to gain. And their past history shows that people who have something to gain will say anything to gain whatever it is they're trying to gain. And you know, if you've been in business long enough, that the moment somebody recommends you, that there is really no resistance, you found someone to do business with. You know, if you've ever studied marketing and advertising, that when somebody recommends a movie, that you go, or a restaurant, or any of the things, that's good enough, and you go. And that's changed a little bit in the last couple of years with Facebook and Twitter, some of these other things. See, before, when Hollywood would launch a bad movie, they would pull out, you've seen this before, they'd pull out the best 30 seconds and put in a commercial, and you'd watch the commercial and say, hey, wow, that looks pretty good. And then you watch the movie, and it was terrible, and you realize that you could have just watched the commercial, and that was the best 30 seconds. And so they knew that if they could spend X amount of millions of dollars to advertise the movie, they would at least get the money back in their first couple, 3 or 4 weeks before people really found out it was a bad movie. Now, with these Facebook and Twitters, a lot of these movies are coming out and they're bombing the first weekend because it's getting out there so fast, things are changing quite a bit. So let's talk about testimonials. Again, whether it's a website, anywhere, people will believe somebody else. Even infomercials. You've seen them on infomercials. If you want to really study persuasion influence, you look at infomercials. There is a formula there, and they're going to have somebody there with no teeth from, I've got to be careful here, West Virginia, said, I made $48,000 in 2 weeks. You're thinking, wow, if they can do it, I can do it. They use testimonials. In fact, we did a study on actually helped somebody record an infomercial. It didn't do very well because only 10% of infomercials do well, and the one thing that the results were like nine times higher. The only thing we did was add testimonials. That was the only thing. That was the only thing. So let's talk about this and how well this works. And I want to point out right now, you can never have too many testimonials. You always collect them. And I'm going to give you the formula, what to ask for, because if you ask somebody for a testimonial, it's not going to be very good. And I'm going to give you some examples here. So first of all, why we do this? It increases your credibility. If you can drop somebody's name, if they can go to your website and read the testimonials, if you have a notebook of people that you've helped, it increases your credibility. It enhances your image. And if you want to do any research on this, one of the laws, the 12 laws of persuasion, this is in your Magnetic Persuasion series, it's called social validation, to where we like to do what other people people have enjoyed it, other people have worked with you, other people have been successful with you, other people have made money with you, other people have saved their home with you, whatever it is, it's part of social validation. We're social creatures. And there's less than 5% of the population that will go against the social norm. And that's a whole another topic. If you want to do a little research on that, that's called social validation, one of the 12 laws of persuasion. Again, people are very skeptical. So let me give you the formula. That's the critical thing. What is the formula to do this? So hopefully everyone's taking notes. Here it is. There are, first of all, four keys before we get into the formula. Let me get to this first. You always ask everyone for a testimonial. And don't get nervous here. When you've delivered more than they expected, when you deliver more than they paid for, people are more than happy to give you a testimonial. Always ask. Or you say it up front. You say, you know what? I do most of my business on testimonials. When I exceed your expectations, would you give me a testimonial? People will say yes. Plant the seed. And expect it when you say that. Expect them to do it. So, you know, my clients, they give me testimonials. They give me endorsements. That's how easy you make it. Make it as easy as possible. Now, here's the key. A lot of people will say, oh, yeah, I'll get you a testimonial. I'll get you an endorsement. I'll do that. Yeah, right. Now, their heart was in the right place. They probably meant to do it. Deep down, they want to do it, but they never did. So there's a couple issues here. How do you make it as easy as possible? Well, one thing, you can say, great, pull out the video camera, or your, now the digital cameras have videos, and record it. Okay? Record it. Have an audio recorder right there. Do it for them. Record it. Make it and transcribe it. Or, well, let me ask the group. Is it okay to write somebody else's testimonial for them?
Well, sure, but it's better if you probably have them write it according to what they're looking for in the testimonial and then agree or disagree.
Well, yeah, you probably, making it as easy as possible, if you could write it. And some people are kind of scared of their English skills. I guess most people are. A lot of people, I don't know what the percent is. But if you could write it and show it to them or email it to them and say, look, this is my recollection of our account, our history together. I know you said you'd write a testimonial. Change what you need to change and send it back to me. And they will. They'll change a few words, maybe add a sentence or do this and this. Now you use it. You have permission to use it, and it's there. You can make it as easy as possible. Pull out the camera, an audio recorder, write for them. Can you never have enough of these things? And that's key. Make it as easy as possible for them. Do it right then. If they say yes, do it right then. Have them write it down right there on a scratch piece of paper. Whatever it is, that's so important. Because if you say, oh, yeah, I'll send it to you, you're going to lose probably 80% of those. And this is power. Again, whether it's on the Internet or in a notebook, wherever you put these things, it's powerful. Imagine even in real estate, if you had a notebook on the picture of the home that you saved or that you sold or that you flipped and the endorsement right beneath it. When they go to your website to check you out, all that's very, very important. Now, here's the key that's very important to understand about this. If you let them go on their own to write a testimonial, you're going to get some that, I'm going to put this, aren't very good. I'll just be blunt. So when you're asking them questions about their experience with you, there are certain elements that you want. And I'm going to give you the elements. The more you have, the better the testimonial. And then I'm going to go through some testimonials that I've received, and then you guys can tell me that was terrible, that was good, that was bad, and why. I'll put myself out there. You can't hurt my feelings. So I'm going to, again, just share some with you, and you tell me good, bad, or ugly. So here are the main ingredients you want. First thing is you want some type of income or benefit claim. Now, sometimes you can't do that. I'm just telling you, the more of these you have, the stronger the testimonial is. So if you can say, I made $50,000, I saved $30,000, I increased my net worth by 10%. Now, a percent's not as strong as an actual number, but some type of income or benefit claim, and I know some industries won't let you do that, but if you can put that in there and make it factual, and we're always believable, and we're always telling the truth. Was there a question?
Nope.
Okay, I thought I heard somebody. So that's number one. Again, sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. The more of these you have, the better. Some type of income or benefit claim. This is what happened to me. They saved my home. They got me back on my feet. I was very skeptical, and I got into the network marketing business, and now I'm making $5,000 a month. Some type of claim. That's number one. Number two, if you can, can include, and you'll see this at infomercials, people that were down and out, couldn't pay their bills, didn't know what to do, creditors were calling, like, you know, I was like that too. Or if you're marketing to chiropractors, you want other chiropractors. If you're marketing to people in foreclosure, maybe you want other people who were in that situation. They knew what it felt, and people were calling them. They didn't know what to do, and they were despair, and their spouses were angry with them. I am like you. So that was something that, whether it's the same profession or same scenario or same situation, that is part of it too. Rarely will you get all these, but the more you can include, the stronger they are. The second one is the full name and location. What I'm saying here is the more information you can put at the bottom of that testimonial or in that video clip, the stronger they are. Because if they're just JT, so they read the testimonial and just says JT at the bottom, the natural skeptical mind is going to say, yeah, right. But if you say John Thomas, that's better. If you can say John Thomas from Atlanta, that's better. If you can say John W. Thomas from Atlanta with a photo, that's better. So again, the more information, a photo, whatever you can include, will make it stronger. And you have to get permission for this, especially if you're going to post it. Full name, location, photo if you can. So that's the next one. Also, short and specific. Sometimes you'll get testimonials that are, I've received, my longest segment record was 4.5 pages. Now that's great, and I appreciate it, but I can't use something that long. So take out a paragraph or a couple sentences. Sometimes you can put a whole paragraph, and what they do is on the internet, they'll underline one, they'll bold one, they'll change the color so the certain words will come out and grab their attention. Short and specific. You don't have that much time to grab their attention. The next one is believable. Now, let me back up here. We always tell the truth. We always use real testimonials. But is it possible, let me ask the group, is it possible to have a true testimonial that's not believable?
Of course.
Absolutely. So you have to be careful there. I have testimonials that I've received with income claims that aren't very believable. They're too high. Now, they're true, but for the average person, now, if I talk about earning millions of dollars in real estate, and you've done real estate for a while, you know that's very possible. But if you've never done real estate before, and someone's making a couple million dollars in a year, then all of a sudden it might not work. So it depends on the market and the mindset and who you're marketing to. So make sure it's believable. Then the last one, before we go into some examples here, is the credibility of the testimonial. What that means is if it's somebody that's famous or somebody that they know, or a name they recognize, or somebody that's a president or CEO of a company, or that's maybe part of a great big organization they recognize. So the more credible the person giving it to is, the more powerful it is. And that's what we see on the back of books, you know, famous people, that sort of thing. I mean, kidding, you might not always get that, but if you can, that enhances it. So just to review, before I give you some examples, some type of income or benefit claim. Somehow, are they like you? I am like you. How could they be like you? Full name, as much information as possible. Short and specific. Make sure it's believable. And the way you do that is you have people read it and ask them, do you believe that? Make sure it's somebody that will give you an honest feedback. And then the credibility of the person, the credibility of the testimonial. Are they famous? Are they part of a big organization? That's part of the process. So let me go through a few that I've received. The first one, and I'm just going to read them to you, and you tell me, good, bad, ugly, what's good about it, what's bad about it. Again, can't hurt my feelings here. That's a part of the process. So here it is. I'll just read it, and you guys tell me. So this is where you're becoming the expert. So when you can see these, you get really good at seeing what's good and what's not. So this one was about a seminar I did. And I always ask for testimonials after the seminar. That's the best time. I have them write it right then and there. And this is what he said. The seminar didn't stink. It was great. I really enjoyed myself. Thanks, Alan Brady. All right. What do you guys think?
It didn't stink doesn't sound too great.
It doesn't. It says it didn't stink. It was great. And so, I think he was just trying to be funny. And, you know, that's okay. But I probably can't use it. right? You want something a little bit better than that. The seminar didn't stink. So it says the seminar didn't stink. It was great. I really enjoyed myself. And the other challenge I had with that is his name, his true name was Alan Brady. Now, why can't I use that name, even though it's true?
There's already an Alan Brady out there.
There's already one out there. It was a TV show. They might think, again, people are so skeptical. They're like, oh, they made it up. So even though it's good, and I appreciate it, I can't use it. All right, here's the next one. This is, again, these are all actual testimonials. As this being my first time being incarcerated, I have been on the continuous lookout for anything that could bring improvement into my life. After endless disappointment, I stumbled upon another inmate who has maximum influence. That was my first book. I traded my dinner trays for a week so I could read the book. Awesome. I plan on starting a business when I am released, and now I feel more confident. Thanks. Douglas Mullins, P89305, California State Prison. What do you think?
Yeah, credibility issue there.
Well, yeah, there's some credibility issues there. It's an inmate. I mean, now it's an interesting story that he traded his dinner for this book. So, good, bad, ugly. What do you guys think?
Bad.
Yeah. The only good thing I could probably pull from this, if I was training a group of people that have been released from prison or had some type of program or a book, can you see where that would be beneficial?
Of course.
Because that's, I'm like you, I was in prison. He was in prison and found it beneficial. Otherwise, it's not something I could use. I'm trying to persuade people to come to a seminar or buy a program. It wouldn't work. Here's another one. Let's see here. Dear Mr. Mortensen, thank you for coming today. I had a lot of fun. You were so funny. I never had so much fun in my life. I hope you'll come again. If I had enough money, I would buy your book. Thanks, Charity. Miss Bishop's third grade class. Good, bad, ugly? What do you think?
Makes it sound too expensive.
That's right. Now, again, if I was going, this is, I had to speak to my daughter's third grade class, and they all wrote little things, and I thought this was kind of fun. I mean, it's fun. I enjoyed reading it. But if I was trying to persuade you to spend 3 days with me and spend money to come to a seminar and maybe fly into Vegas, would that help you in any way to persuade you to come?
No.
It wouldn't at all. Again, it's fun to read. It's interesting. That's great. But it wouldn't sway you at all. Here's one. Does anybody know Karen Nelson Bell? Heard that name before?
Yes.
Yeah, she's I love her to death. She was Bottled Michelle and 1 Minute Millionaire. She also helped write Nothing Down for Women. We're really good friends. So we shared a platform once, and she says, Kurt, thank you. You touched my life. I'm going to write you a testimonial. Okay, this is nothing negative. I love Karen. And she wrote, it was a couple pages. And here's a piece of it. This is Karen Nelson Bell. Seeing a truly gifted speaker present their platform can lift the audience right out of the mundane and elevate them to a higher range of vibration, much as a musician or performer communicates on the aesthetic wavelength. If your goal is to change people's lives for the better, you're accomplishing it. All right, you tell me. Good, bad, ugly.
A little bit hard to follow.
Yeah, was a lot of big words there. It was probably too long. Now, if I was going after musicians, might work.
Just
or if I was going to... Yeah, because if I just took the last sentence, it would be, if your goal is to change people's lives for the better, you're accomplishing it. And that's okay. Better, but there's still no income claim there. So let's talk about it. Here's another one. This is about a seminar. Exciting, informative, inspirational, enthusiastic, full of energy. The workshop is full of knowledge and an excellent roadmap to success. George.
That's
good,
better.
Bad, ugly.
Better.
What do you think?
And these
better.
Or something.
Okay, we're missing a last name. Okay, good call. What else?
Don't have any income claim.
Yeah, no income claim. So it's pretty good, but if I'm trying to convince you to spend 3 days with me, probably not enough. It's great that it's exciting and informative, but really, what is my benefit for coming? What is the income, right? That would be one. Let me do this one. This one is from a chiropractor. It says, how can it really be that easy? And how have I missed it all this time? I was a little miffed that his work wasn't a prerequisite in graduating from chiropractic college as a potential business owner, too. I was astonished as to the minor shifts that I quickly made and how much revenue these shifts were generating my business. Persuasion is definitely one of our greatest tools. Dr. Barbara Sturm, Milan, Michigan, chiropractor.
That's pretty good.
Good.
It's a little long.
Yeah, it's a little long. It was good we got the name and location and what she does.
And she said,
what are we missing? Yeah, there's really no income claim. It's nice that she says it's just minor shifts here and there. Now, obviously, if I was going after chiropractors, it would be probably pretty good because, well, I'm a chiropractor too, and why didn't they teach me those things in school? So there could be a bond there. Let's see. Here's one. This program, talking about magnetic persuasion, magnifies your inherent ability to persuade. Mark Victor Hansen, Chicken Soup for the Soul.
That's top of the line there.
Well, the interesting thing about that one is
ability.
It's a terrible one. I mean, let me repeat that. This program magnifies your inherent ability to persuade. What does that mean? Now, hey, wait. I'm good friends with Mark. We're good friends. And I always razz him about this. But this, I use it all the time. Even though it's not that good, why do I use it?
Credibility.
His name.
In the name. Okay, the name.
His name.
Here's another one. How about this one? Magnetic persuasion is an incredible course. It shows you how to immediately influence and persuade other people in every aspect of your life. Brian Tracy.
Again, the name.
The name. That's another one. I got here one, you know, Stephen Covey, Doc Seven Habits. He gave me one, too. Truly remarkable information. Bob Allen's giving me one. I'm going to go past those. Let me go to this one. This is, says, for the last 2 years, we hadn't been able to sponsor anyone into our business. Then we took the Advanced Influence course. Now in October alone, we sponsored 40 people. Thanks, Kurt. Rick and Elaine McGill, Network Marketers.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Anything negative about it?
People don't like Network Marketers. That might not help.
Yeah. Now, obviously, that would be specific to network marketing. And my only concern would be, is it believable? It's true. You know, sponsoring 40 people, they had a big pipeline that we went back and helped them learn how to persuade. That would be my only concern with that one. Let's see here. Oh, this one, I've invested over $50,000 in coaching and seminars and never received any results. We'll go back to that in a second. It says, it was good information, but the results weren't there. I decided to move forward with persuasion coaching and was amazed. The whole time, all I needed was persuasion. My first year alone, I closed 14 properties, no money down to date. I have closed on 27 properties. Jason Shefflett, Real Estate Investor, Dallas, Texas. Good, bad, ugly? What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good because I've got, there's a lot of, I'm like that. I spent all this money and other things. Where are my results? And then a specific 14 properties. Only way I'd fix it, maybe we do an income claim. Last one, let's see. This is in Las Vegas. The skills we learned from Kurt have helped us close literally millions of dollars worth of properties. What we learned from taking Kurt's course had enormous impact on our bottom line, increasing our net worth to over $5 million in just 1 year. Jason and Debbie Jones, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Sounds good.
Might not be too believable. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a very good testimony, and you're right on. Now, if I was talking to seasoned real estate investors, it would work well. If it's someone who had never done real estate before, we got to be careful with that $5 million. I mean, even though it's true, we got to work on the believable part. So that is your formula. So again, ask. You never can have too many. You're always working on these. You're borrowing credibility. I got a lot of questions on this, so that's where we're spending time on it. But to ask. Get out there. Expect people to give it to them. Make it as easy as possible. And you'll be amazed whether you're on a website or you create your own notebook of testimonials or however you do it. And people are actually kind of flattered that you ask. If you ever write a book, for example, people are flattered that you've asked them to write an endorsement or testimony for your book. It's much, much easier than you think. Now, I've gone kind of long. Hopefully, there's good information for you. Do you have any questions about what we talked about today or any things that you're running into in general?
I have a quick question about number three, which was getting their full name and location and using a photograph and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to do it, post it to your website or LinkedIn or whatever, and you do that, is it best to get a disclaimer, or is that necessary? In other words, you need to have something signed from them giving you that authority.
Only time I've seen that people actually really do that is when they're doing, like, infomercials. What I do to protect myself is I send them an email. Hey, is it okay if I use your name, number, and your picture on my website for your testimony? You know, I really appreciate it. Thank you. Then I said, can I use it? And then the response, I just keep.
That makes sense.
I've never had any issues with that. And you've got the response, and they wrote it. I never had information. The only time reason you do it for infomercials is the government. Not that if you're planning on doing one, the government gets so tense when you get in testimonials. They make sure you've got all that stuff done. It's more of a legal lawyer type thing than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good question. Anybody else?
I was wondering how this could be reworked as a letter of recommendation to somebody, you know, seeking a job. It kind of goes along the same lines, except the benefit wouldn't have been income. It would have been, you know, having that person in your company. Right now I'm looking for a job.
Yeah, if you're getting a letter of recommendation, the benefit's what you brought to the company as far as being an organizer, or increasing revenue, or increasing sales. So you'd still have the benefits in there. And you could still use a lot of these things in there, you know, making sure it's believable, making sure there's a benefit. So a lot of it still applies the way you ask. I know I get from college students and others, they always want me to write a letter of recommendations and all these other things. And more because of time than anything else is I say, well, go ahead, you write it first, send it to me, and then I'll adjust it. That's more for a time issue, and it makes it easier for me. And maybe that's what you want to do with your letter of recommendation, because just sit down and write a page on somebody that depends how well you know them. It's a lot of work, I mean, if you really think about it. I mean, it's not a lot of work, but mentally it could be a lot of work. So that's what goes back to as easy as you can make it as possible. And ask them, do you want me to write it for you, and you can adjust it so you can know what they're looking for? And most people will say yes. It's not an uncommon thing. It's actually quite common.
Kurt, do you happen to use LinkedIn much at all?
I haven't used LinkedIn. I don't get invites here and there. I know my web people have used I know I'm doing some stuff on Facebook and Twitter, but I hear that's more of the professional site, but I haven't. I'm sure it's just a matter of time, but that seems to be the one that more and more professionals are using.
Well, yeah, I'm on it.
Facebook is becoming more professional and more accepted in business circles, but LinkedIn is the one that's thought of more as a professional site. And the reason I ask is because they have a feature on LinkedIn that allows you to seek people's testimonials. So it's probably a
fairly That's good to know. Yeah, and again, more people are flattered that you ask and more than willing to, especially when you've done a great job for them and they really like you. It's so much easier than we think. It's like when we train people to take a millionaire out to lunch. It's so much easier than you think. And it's much easier than you think. We just think about it too much. You just ask, you do it. And it comes back to our persuasion philosophy that you've heard before. Some will, some won't. So what? Who's next, right? You've heard that before, and that's true with anything.
Yep.
Okay, any other questions? All right, so this week, I want you to get some testimonials. Now, if you're new in a business, go out and get some testimonies from an old business. Say, you know, I enjoyed working with so-and-so because of this, 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 and that. Even if it was not real estate and something else, even if it was not something you're working on now, at least you have some testimonials that eventually you'll probably post on a website that if you're just doing a little real estate, putting in a notebook that people want to thumb through it, again, you're borrowing credibility. People always believe other people before you. So I want you to go out and get a few testimonials this week. Get things started. And if you noticed, if you start studying, for example, websites, they'll probably have 30 or 40 testimonials. It builds. Now, people aren't going to read all. Well, some people will. Okay, they're not going to read all. Make sure your best ones are on top. But they do that because there's just so many in there that just the number of them increases your credibility. You might not read all of them. You just start collecting them. And as you grow, you might have specific ones for foreclosures. You might have specific ones that have this objection. But you start collecting them now and start borrowing credit. So this week, get at least three testimonials to enhance your credibility. So that's your homework. All right. Good questions. Thanks for being on the call. Are there any last-minute questions for me before we let you go for next week? Or is there a specific topic you want for next week? I'm here to help you out.
starting right now working on your persuasion, you know, 2-volume set. So that's, you know, that's whatever topic you're covering seems to be relevant to me.
Okay. If there are certain things you want, let me know, and then of course we're going to go through some of those laws of persuasion. So get out there, have a great week, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kurt.
You bet. Good night, everyone.